Welcome to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm That Guy.
And this week, in case you couldn't tell by BJ's ominous That Guy, we're talking about the 8th party member that we're not supposed to talk about because of spoilers.
It's true.
Early warning, spoilers, this whole episode is a spoiler.
Yes, if you have not played much of 11 or seen spoilers yet or anything at all, like if you don't want to know pretty major plot stuff, stop listening right now and go play the game.
Yeah, and if you've listened to our other episodes, you know who this is already. So we're kind of just assuming this spoiler warning is for people who maybe haven't listened to the last like 6 episodes.
It's true, because I think we've called this character by name a number of times, but we didn't let you know it was That Guy.
But we did it after spoiler warning.
It's
for
true.
Those episodes, I feel like, most of the time. Who knows? Either way,
I don't know.
We are talking about sweet little Henny Winnie.
Oh, Henny Winnie. You're
Henny
so pretty.
Winnie. Yeah, Hendrick.
You're precious.
I did want to mention, though, before we get too far into Hendrick, I forgot to mention this in the last episode, that Jade, we always talk about the voice actors and everything, mm-hmm. that Jade is actually voiced by Laura Aikman, and she voices another martial artist monk lady that I really enjoy. It's one of my favorite characters in Final Fantasy XIV, Stormblood, Lys.
Oh, really? She's Lys.
So she's voiced that character since forever.
That's really awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah. So
really cool.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I looked it up because I realized just like the other day that in that episode we never talked about Jade's voice actor. And
yeah.
So I looked it up and Stormblood was like one of the top credits, and it said that she voiced Lys, and I was like, what? That's so cool, because I really like that character too.
Yeah, that makes me really happy to know.
Yeah. We also have a new patron again this week. So, as usual, BJ has a real nice thank you to our newest Patreon patron, JJ Boy.
JJ Boy! JJ Boy! You're not BJ Boy. That's me. You JJ Boy, and you great. Thank you so much.
I really want to call you BJ Boy now.
I think you have to.
Don't Google BJ Boy.
Don't at all. To be fair, my grandma used to call me BJ Boy. Like, that was what she used to call me when I was a little kid. So that's what it all sounds like. It sounds like you're trying to be my grandma.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk like this. Hey, little BJ Boy.
Nope.
I just want to pick your little cheekies.
Nope. Nope.
That sound
never
like your
said
grandma?
That. Nope, aww. Not at all.
Aw, man. So Hendrick, let's jump straight into talking about Hendrick. Hendrick is voiced by John Hopkins.
Like the university?
Yeah, who founded a really famous hospital in Maryland, and despite being born in 1873, was able to voice a character in Dragon Quest XI.
That's impressive. Like, know, that guy's right? Got a resume.
Yeah, right? He's like, what, 150 years old?
And likes what we like? It's,
yeah.
It's astonishing.
I know. So I was like, man, I can't. That was so nice of the guy. You know, not many people get into voice acting when they're 150 years old. But leave it up to John Hopkins. No, this is a different John Hopkins. I guess I think the hospital is like Johns Hopkins, right?
It's Johns Hopkins, yeah, and Johns Hopkins University.
Oh, Johnny Hopkins. So anyway, so this voice actor, John Hopkins, I looked him up on IMDb, as I usually do in these episodes. And he's done a lot of video game work. One of the most recent ones I could find was Horizon Zero Dawn, which I have not played.
Mm. I keep hearing such wonderful things about that game. And apparently it takes a little while to get into to really see what the game is about. But once you do, apparently it is really solid. And it's one that I'll eventually grab on sale, because it's one of those kind of open world survival games that are hit and miss, but apparently it's really hit if you can get into it.
Yeah, my cousin Jaden loved it. Like, he platinum trophied the base game on PS4,
oh,
and
wow.
then like got all the trophies for like all the side content.
Holy cow.
Like, he did all of it. Yeah, and he's talked to me about it a lot and just speaks very highly of it, and I
yeah.
just, you know, never played it myself. But anyway, so Hendrick, John Hopkins, looks like he, like a lot of the actors we have talked about in these episodes, did appear in some live action, like BBC work.
Mm-hmm.
Most of his work seems to be in voice acting. And he does do a great job as Hendrick, voice acting Hendrick in this. And that's really all I have to base it on. from looking at his IMDb page.
Yeah, and he does Hendrix so well. He's one of those characters that really feels like a real person, as opposed to them like, you know, Rab plays this character. But Hendrix just seems like a dude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's especially later. I mean, when he starts out, he's kind of just a like stereotype.
Right. Initially. He is at the beginning, he's like, I'm a knight. Hello.
Yeah. So Hendrick in combat. Let's talk about Hendrick in combat for a little bit. He uses really big swords, great swords. He can use shields. I don't think I ever equipped him with a shield. I think I equipped him with a shield once whenever he got the what's the knight called? Drustin?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that Erdwin's old knight pal when you get like the shield and all of that stuff from him?
Yeah, the Drustin's Labyrinth and all that.
Yeah, I equipped Hendrick with that shield and just I never used shields with him. I always just kept him with the great swords, with the two-handed swords, and never looked back.
And he was a beast that way. I don't know if I may have equipped him with other weapons at some point, but it was always just the whenever I needed him, it was going to be two-handed swords.
Yeah, so it sounds like we probably played Hendrick the same.
And he did so much damage. Like, he just took care of everything.
Yeah, he did. I kept him in my party all the time on the PS4,
yep.
But something about him on the Switch, I don't know. I did not use him nearly as much on the Switch.
Really?
Kind of like I said in the last episode, yeah, I used Jade, could hit really hard too, and she was faster. She had more agility than Hendrick. So in a lot of the battles, Jade would always go first, no matter what, because she's just so fast.
Yeah.
And so I always ended up having Jade in my party. And really, I didn't notice a huge discrepancy in damage dealt from the way I played Jade and the way I played Hendrick in like the end game stuff.
And unless I'm remembering it completely incorrectly, Hendrick had a heal, didn't he?
He did.
He did. That's what I'm thinking. Like, because when I had him set to fight wisely, he just owned everything. And if somebody took damage, he was just like, oh, hold on. And then healed them too. And I'm like, Hendrick, you perfect. It's like, you're my boy.
See, and I didn't like that Hendrick would heal himself if I had the settings set to fight wisely or whatever.
Yeah.
Because his heals wouldn't be as powerful as like Rab's or Serena's.
Right.
And I was like, oh, come on, Hendrick. I want you to hit hard right now and let Serena do the heal because she's about to go next. You know what I mean?
I would usually, those are the two that I would pop in and out though. I would usually replace Hendrick with Serena when I needed something big. So they were rarely, if ever, in the party at the same time for me.
I gotcha. And so, but Hendrick, you talk about heals and stuff. Hendrick does kind of fit in to that. Because on the surface, he looks like a warrior, if we're going by Dragon Quest vocations.
Yeah.
But he's really a paladin.
Paladin, I mean, yeah.
He doesn't use spears. Most paladins in Dragon Quest games use spears. Just in terms of the abilities and everything he has, he's definitely somewhere between like this tank warrior and a paladin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I like him better than either of the like base classes on that. Like, I tend not to use just regular warrior, and I tend to want to love paladins and then not use them nearly as much as I think that I want to once I get them.
Gotcha. My main hero in Dragon Quest IX was a paladin, so I played the crap out of a paladin in IX.
Fair. That's what I wanted Dragon Quest of the Stars to be, and I leveled it up, and I was like, I don't like this. And
yeah, I gotcha.
Then the game, I never went back either. So
Hendrick's outfits. I said this, I think, in last week's episode. Hendrick was another one that I kind of kept in just his standard outfit.
Yeah.
For like a huge chunk of time. I really liked that, and I liked that it was kind of subtle. I've seen people post online saying it's not so subtle, but I thought it was kind of a nice, subtle reference to Erdrick.
Right.
From Dragon Quest III.
Yeah, I mean, I did not think it was very subtle at all. It looked like him.
You thought it looked like him?
Yeah.
Huh. See, I thought the colors were off just enough from that it didn't...
Yeah, I mean, it's black instead of blue, but it looks like Erdrick's armor to me. With the way that the kilt comes down on Hendrick, and the red interior of the cape with the yellow, with the gold banding. I don't know.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like Erdrick to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw after the fact, like even after I'd beat the Switch version, where someone was talking about how it seems like the game is trying to trick you there at the beginning that Erdrick is the hero, because in Act 2, you know, they talk about the savior, they talk about the hero, and you don't know it's Hendrick. And then because of the camera angles and all, it shows like his blue tunic, you know, and like his yellow arm reaching out with his glove and all that, like it's going to be Erdrick. And I totally didn't get that in any of my playthroughs. I don't know if I'm just stupid or just lack the finesse to like notice those kinds of things or what, but I totally didn't get that. And then I saw that online and I was like, yeah, they're right. That is, that does seem like it's kind of obvious that that's what they were going for with that outfit. And it, but it totally all just like went over my head like every time I've played this game.
Yeah, and I saw that, and then I also knew that it wasn't going to be the case whenever you had told me very early on about the Luminary being Erdrick getting the title and everything at the end of the game, that you had told me all about that, so I knew what to expect and when.
I guess part of it too was that I always thought it was very obvious that Hendrick was going to be your eighth party member. I don't know if you remember this, but even like not very long into first playing 11, I was texting you and I was even like, I think it's really obvious that Hendrick is going to be a good guy and like join your party later in the game. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember anything. I don't know why I even asked you if you remembered it. That was totally just a waste of 30 seconds of my life.
It was.
But yeah, I thought just based on his personality and everything and knowing going in that there was going to be like this secret eighth party member that you were going to get.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was because even just a few hours into that game when Hendrick is after you, it's like, it's pretty obvious that he's really a good guy. Like he's working for the wrong side and he thinks it's the right side, but like he's really a good guy. And I think, I don't know, something, maybe it was just his character design seemed too good to just be a throwaway NPC. I don't know. For whatever reason, I thought it was really obvious that Hendrick was going to be my eighth party member. And so, so maybe that's why when I got there, I wasn't like, oh, maybe is this Erdrick? What's going on? Maybe because I was already just like, yeah, it's got to be Hendrick. Like, of course he would have like rescued these people and it's Heliodor. So it's got to be Hendrick kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think you told me already what was going on because I didn't care about spoilers at that point. I just wanted to know what was going on. And so it didn't get me like that either.
Yeah, because you were like, you had played it on PC and then you were like, I think I'm just going to wait until 11S comes out. And
you about had a conniption and were like, I have to talk about this with somebody.
Yeah. But I still kept quiet a few spoilers away from you.
You did. You did.
Like even though you asked for spoilers, I tried to keep some big ones away.
Yeah, you did.
But going back to the outfit. So I kept him in a standard outfit kind of pretty much most of the game. I do like his Heliodor armor, that black armor.
Right.
That he's with at the beginning. On PS4, I mostly kept him on the General, is what the outfit is called.
That's what I generally kept kept him in as well, just because it looked really cool.
Yeah, and it saved you a ton on car insurance.
No.
I can't think of the General theme song
either.
I just picture that terrible CGI General walking into the sunset with Shaq, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So anyway, I kept him on the General for a lot of the time.
Right.
And then Heliodor armor, but mostly his standard outfit. I'm pretty sure is what I kept him in 80% of the time.
Really? Yeah. Once I got the General, I liked it. I'm looking through them right now and I didn't get the white outfit of the Field Marshal.
Oh, the white outfit. Yeah.
I love the white one. Like I'm looking at it now and I wish I'd gotten it.
I can't even remember how I got, I mean, I got them all, but I can't remember how I got that one.
Does it tell you
on the thing you're looking at?
Says found behind an ultimate door key in the cryptic crypts.
Oh, okay. So
and then
yeah, so
craft it's, it.
So it's in the, so it's probably like a recipe that you find. See, you don't get the ultimate key until after the first credits.
Yeah. And I got it. I mean, I went through and got it. I just didn't seek out a lot of stuff whenever I did it.
Yeah, you just didn't go around trying to open all the treasure chests. Like,
yeah. I didn't look them up. I went to the ones I remembered and that I came across. I just didn't grab a list and go straight down through them to go seek them out.
Yeah, I think I Googled a list on PS4 to like make sure I got them all once I had thought I got them all. And yeah. Then, I don't remember doing that for Switch, though, because, I mean, I played the game, like, less than a year ago, so it's like, pretty easy to remember that stuff, generally.
And then I wish that we had been able, you know, I don't like the parade. Everybody who has listened to the Silvando episode has, like, come at me because I'm the only person in the world who just really did not like the parade in Dragon Quest XI.
Oh, yeah, we're referring to it as Parade Gate.
Yeah, I know,
know. It's a gate now.
I know. Parade Gate is a big thing, and I'm going to be subpoenaed soon for to be brought before the tribunal. And I will say, though, Hendrick's clown costume during the parade is a highlight of the game that I wish I could have kept him in 100% of the time.
Like, if that had been the outfit that you get from beating the Time Worm boss instead of the Blue Bunny outfit, then I would have been like, yeah, it's worth it just because it's that clown outfit.
It's 100% worth it. I would have gone and done it. Like, I would have powered through all of the Altar of Ages stuff, which I still want to do, but I would have done it by now just so I could put that turquoise clown nose and big baggy clown suit on Hendrick all the time. Like, it is a missed opportunity in so many ways for Square Enix not to have made that something that you could keep, especially after letting the Luminary and Silvando keep theirs.
Yeah, and just the awkward little dance he does, like when he's dressed like the clown, is just,
yeah, it's wonderful.
So great. I know.
Like, it's maybe the highlight of the game when you see it. Like, as it starts, like, I didn't like any of the Silvando leading up to the parade. I didn't really like the parade at all. But then seeing Hendrick with this giant sword and ruffly collar, I'm like, you perfect.
Yeah, when I'm on my deathbed and like my children or grandchildren are like, Dad, are like, Dad, did you have any regrets? I'm going to say, yes. You couldn't get the clown outfit in Dragon Quest XI S, and then I'm gonna die.
I will make sure that when that happens, and I know it will, I'm gonna make sure that when you are buried and in your casket, you're in a clown suit like that with a replica greatsword, so that you can cosplay into the afterlife.
But that assumes that you're gonna die after me.
Oh, you know I will. You've been saying that you're going to die like young since I've known you, since you were like 19.
That's true. So, Hendrick on Twitter. Let's talk about Hendrick on Twitter. We asked people what they liked about, air quotes here, Blue John, because I had taken... This is what happened, okay? So, when I was playing through 11S, you know, Blue John, he's the guy that you know, fishes out the Luminary in Act 2.
Oh, I didn't remember his name.
And he's really funny. They give him the name Blue John, and he talks about himself in like the third person. He's like, "Oh, Blue John caught a big one this time." Oh, and I took some screenshots of him because, I mean, this has been like what, 7-8 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I took screenshots because I was like, "I'm gonna use this later. I don't know when. I don't know why."
But you're going to, you know,
going to, yeah. And so I used a Blue John screenshot that I had taken on the Switch to post with the Hendrick thing, and I was just like, I used that as a ruse to get people to say what they liked about Hendrick.
Wow.
So nice. Yeah. So I did get to use at least one of my Blue John screenshots,
and they'll be there again. Like, you know, you're going to use those.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked that character. He's a random NPC who's in the game for all of 5 minutes, but like something about him, I just liked him. So Hendrick on Twitter, we asked people on Twitter what they liked about him, and we took a few answers that we got to talk about in today's episode. So Dr. Mysterio said that they liked his heroism, his bravery, his loyalty, strong moral compass, despite his more tragic past, makes him their all-time favorite of the Dragon Quest XI party. So that's
nice.
I mean, he's probably my number two after Silvando. But honestly, even playing him on the Switch version, like, there were times where I was like, man, maybe Hendrick is my favorite party member. Like, I really like Hendrick a lot.
Like, when he is actually, as far as combat, for sure, Like, I'm sad when he's not in my party.
Yeah. Emmy said, when I first met him, I thought I would hate him throughout the game, but when he joined, he became one of my favorite party members as I learned more about him. So another person who considers Hendrick to be one of their favorite party members. Sack Chief said his entire story arc and redemption embodies DQ's theme of forgiveness and the idea that an enemy can become your friend really works here. Yeah, I think of all the like enemies that become your friends that exist in Dragon Quest games, I think Hendrick is by far my favorite.
He's good. Like, that's one of the things. Like, he seems like a person as opposed to just this, you know, hitting a plot point.
Yeah.
To have somebody in your party that used to be an enemy.
Yeah. So I definitely, like, I'm just trying to quickly run through my head here any of the kind of, like, enemies that become friendly later in Dragon Quest games. And, like, I don't think any of them, like, hold a candle to Hendrick.
Mm-mm.
Some people might say Terry, but I don't like Terry from Dragon Quest VI. I still don't understand why he's a fan favorite.
And I haven't played VI, so I can't say anything at all about Terry.
I don't like him in... I assume it's because of the Monsters spinoffs.
Right.
Why people like him, and he kind of has that... People think he has a cool design. I think it looks like a Link knockoff.
I like his design. Like, I really do like his design.
Like, I had read at some point, maybe in the Kira Toriyama Dragon Quest art book, that was actually one of the tossed designs for the hero of VI.
Yeah.
And then they threw it out. They didn't like him as the main hero for reasons. But they brought him in as a character, as a playable character, because they thought the design was too good to just completely toss
out. Right. And I get that. Like, I really like it. I honestly like it better than the way that the hero looks in it, because as much as I love the Goku hair on the VI hero, I think that Terry looks a little more unique.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the hero. Like, it's one of those where he's one of the better hero designs. But if I'd seen Terry as the hero, that's the kind of thing that would make me play a game. Kind of like the Monsters Joker. The reason I grabbed the first Joker was because I like the hero design.
Yeah, and the hero from Joker just looks like the hero from VI, but with gray hair instead of blue hair. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just the way that it's styled. So I'm a fickle mistress.
This whole thing is a paradox.
It is.
I'm about to pop out of existence.
You're gonna slowly fade away from all your family photos.
So Steve Whitcamp said, loved that character. He was a wonderful surprise and had some unexpectedly funny moments in Act Two, which I assume is referring to a couple of things. Number one has to be the clown suit that we already talked about. Number two, probably several other people mentioned this and why they like Hendrick, is Hendrick, he's this very upright person, but he knows a thing or two about Rab's Dirty Magazines.
He does. He's like, oh, look at you. You've got the collector's edition.
He knows the issue, and he's like, ooh, in mint condition. And then he gets really embarrassed about it.
Delightful.
Yeah. Definitely another one of my favorite moments of Act Two is Hendrick finding Rab's magazine, finding Rab's Ogler's Digest.
It is wonderful. It's like when you see adult site traffic, and so much of it comes from Utah. It's hilarious.
Is that a real thing?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Huh. Interesting.
It's great. Like, it has a, I wouldn't say disproportionate amount, but a very high amount coming from Utah, which is predominantly Mormon, which tends to teach against that kind of adult content.
Is that where the salt in the Salt Lake comes from?
Oh, 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 this is a family friendly show.
I'm sorry. It was too good not to say.
That is the worst thing you have ever said.
I'm sorry. So going back to our questions here, really quickly, I wanted to give an honorable mention to Todd for this funny comment. I thought it was really hilarious. He said, when Hendrick joined, I thought, oh, wow, he's going to join my team now. Cool. And then I thought, you're just like a sword guy. You're a normal guy with a sword. You aren't an adult in a kid's body or a circus performer or anything special. I mean, I guess that's okay.
Which I suppose when you're looking at it from that that perspective, it's like he is kind of bland compared to some of the other people that have joined your party up to that point.
Yeah, it's like his character His character arc and character development are really, really good. But yeah, when you're looking at it, like, just in terms of like what makes him interesting, it's like he's like a chivalrous knight with a big sword.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I like that, but I've never really thought about it from Todd's perspective here. And I guess I guess that's okay.
So, I like these kind of characters.
You know,
there's
too.
Kind of like Bosch in Final Fantasy XII is one of my favorite characters in Final Fantasy XII, and Bosch and Hendrick in Dragon Quest XI, I feel like, are very similar characters.
Yeah,
their storylines go completely different ways, but just they kind of have this code that they stick to it, you know.
Yeah, and no, this is kind of a tangent, but didn't you tell me that Bosch was originally the protagonist of Final Fantasy XII, and it was supposed to be his story from his perspective, and the executives decided that it needed to be from a younger outside perspective to draw more people in?
I did not tell you that.
I'm thinking that's the case. Like, Vaughn and was it Pinelo weren't supposed to be the kind of perspective characters in the game that bought the story is Bosch's story, I think, is one of the things I read, and that they had to rework some of the stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's one of the reasons that it makes me sad whenever I'm playing it, because I don't like Vaughn, but Bosch is awesome.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Vaughn is like, Vaughn, I like playing Vaughn. He's one of my favorite characters to play with, because you equip him with spears and he hits like 7 times in a row.
Yeah, that's what I'd started to do with him before I stopped.
Yeah, and so he's good to have in the party, I think, as a fighter, but his character, he and Pinelo are the two like lamest characters in that whole game.
Yep, so you can thank the failure of Vagrant Story for that. That inclusion. But yeah, I mean, that said, like, that tangent entirely to say that kind of character really appeals to both of us, like the Hendrick Bosch kind of upright knight with a slight, you know, I don't want to say dark side, but they go through a really solid arc.
Yeah. And
like, I really like them.
And so we're going to talk about Hendrick within the story in just a moment, but we also have that little segment that we like to call shameless self-promotion.
Shameless! It's a shameless! I'm so shameless! Pay me, let me quit my job! I'm so shameless!
Okay, thanks. Yep. So we do have a Patreon page that is at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, and we have lots of goodies there. You can get a sticker for $3 a month. For $10 a month, you can choose a topic for us to discuss on this show, which is pretty cool, I think. And now we are getting very close to our 1-year birthday of the podcast.
Which is insane.
And yeah, it is kind of crazy that it's 1 year already. We're going to be hitting that mark in just a couple of weeks. We're actually hitting it on May 27th, which is also when they're doing the big reveal for the Adventures of Dai video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're showing that off on May 27th, and that is also our 1-year birthday, I think, May 27th.
That's really awesome.
First episode went up, yeah. So now that we're getting close to that, that means that our Patreon page is nearing its 1-year birthday as well, which means some of our patrons have been with us an entire year. And so we've been, basically the entire year, we've been thinking, like, what would be like a cool like anniversary gift we could give to patrons? And so we decided on coffee mugs. We thought about shirts, but, you know, everybody wears a different size. Coffee mugs seemed cool because, you know, people like to drink coffee. They like to drink tea. And it's really serendipitous, I think, because not too long after we were thinking about coffee mugs, Square Enix teased the slime teapot that you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I pre-ordered it.
Of course you did.
It was like $25, which from a Square Enix product for $25 is like, pretty inexpensive. Like,
I didn't realize it was that cheap for it.
Yeah, it was like $25, and I mean, you know, it makes my tea for me, so I'm like, heck yeah. So anyway, it's a perfect thing to go alongside your slime teapot.
It's true.
And it's really cool. It's got a mini medal on the back. You can go to our Patreon page and see it, or our Twitter page and see it, where we've shown it off. They came in the mail yesterday, and I'm gonna keep one. like, I got them out and I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. I really do like the mini metal on the back. And this morning I drank my coffee out of it.
Oh,
I kept it.
I don't blame you. I would do the same.
I was like, I got them, ordered the first batch for, you know, our patrons that are nearing, because we have like five or six patrons that are going to be with us for a full year pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and ordered the first batch to get ready to send to those people.
Right.
So that's been really cool. So just, you know, big shout out to all of our patrons who have been with us so long and sticking with us for like almost a year now. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. We really appreciate y'all for doing that and supporting us. Like, that's great. You're fantastic people.
Yeah, and you know, even if you're one of our new patrons, or even if you're just thinking about joining us, the mug thing is something we're going to send out whenever, you know, people reach a year. So it's not like we're going to stop sending these out. And then I'm already thinking about year two, because I like to think ahead. So I'm thinking of year two. It's going to be a cardboard cutout of my face.
That is not absurd, given some of the stuff that we've done at work to people. Like, that is not an insane ask.
This is a tangent too, but I was going through old photos on my phone the other day, it's like Google Photos, like the app on my phone. It wasn't just photos strictly to my phone, but some of them were from a long time ago. And I found a picture where I'd taken a picture. Do you remember my necklace of shame that I made?
Oh, I don't think so. No.
Okay. So this is going to sound really mean unless you know me and you know, like, the work studies we had, right? Like, we like to joke around with them, right?
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so I made this thing called the Necklace of Shame, where I took a piece of cardboard, a square piece of cardboard, and it said something along the lines of, like, I have been an embarrassment and must now wear this necklace of shame. And I put some cord around it. And anytime one of the work studies messed up, I would make them wear it. And the thing is, I say make them wear it, but, like, the work studies thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So they would put it on. And so I had, like, a couple of pictures of, like, Harley or, like, Evan or some of the other work studies we had, like smiling and wearing the necklace of shame.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I do remember that now that you said it. Like, I remember Evan sitting at the front desk with the necklace of shame on.
Yeah. He forwarded a call to one of our offices wrong or something. And I made him wear the necklace of shame. Which, again, sounds really mean unless you understand, like, the relationship,
the dynamic that we had.
Yeah. And so it was all in good fun. So it's just really funny because I found pictures of, like, people wearing it and they're smiling really big, but then they have this cardboard sign that says, like, they're an embarrassment and have to wear a necklace of shame. So anyway, I thought that was funny because I totally forgot about it. And then I just saw this picture and I was like, oh, good memories.
Yep. True.
So let's talk about Hendrik within the story. So Hendrik, he's a bad guy. I mean, at the beginning, not really a bad guy, but he's chasing after you. And, you know, you're on the run because the King of Heliodor at least seems like he's a bad guy. Even early in the game, you're like, what's up with this dude? He's trying to, like, throw me in jail and all this stuff. But Hendrik, you know, he follows the king around. He doesn't know that the king's been possessed by Mordiggin or any of this kind of stuff. So he's kind of following these orders blindly. He thinks you're the Darkspawn. He thinks you're going to destroy the world. So he has a good reason to hunt you down. He's very persistent.
Right.
But he eventually does turn over to your side. And even when he's chasing you, like I said earlier in the episode, like, I thought it was very apparent that he's a good guy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's an antagonist to begin with, but he's not a bad guy. Like, he's not a bad person within the game. He's just doing what he thinks is right.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Jasper definitely seems like a bad guy.
He's a turd man. He is a bad person throughout the entire game. I was going to say episode, but
he's this, like, sniveling guy. He has a ponytail that goes down to his feet. I mean, you just know this is one bad dude.
And we are apologizing to anyone who has a ponytail that goes down to your feet. We don't think you're a bad person necessarily.
What? I don't think anybody in real life has a ponytail down to their feet.
I don't know. You never know.
I don't know, man. That's pushing it. Like, you just trip over that thing.
Like Ariana Grande.
I don't know. Is Ariana Grande a villain, though? Didn't she, like, lick a bunch of donuts and stuff and, like, get in trouble for all that kind of stuff?
I don't know. I'd lick a bunch of donuts.
I don't know Ariana Grande and her whole thing. I don't know.
I don't know. I just know she has a giant ponytail.
Does she?
Yeah. And Jennifer hates it. Jennifer hates her because of her ponytail.
I legit don't know if I know what Ariana Grande even looks like.
You should look up Ariana Grande and the ponytail.
I don't know. It's I think big. Now I'm just happy being like blissfully unaware of things.
Aww.
So anyway, Jasper, I feel like it's very apparent that he's a bad guy because he's right. He's this sniveling guy. Even when you encounter him in Gondolia and everything and you have to fight him, it's like, yeah, this is going to be a bad guy. Whereas Hendrick, it's just kind of like, oh, come on, man, stop chasing me. leave me alone. You seem like a nice guy. I don't want to have to like murder you eventually.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way that the story goes, too.
At the end of Act One, when you find out that the King of Heliodor is Mordiggin, the world ends, basically.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Hendrick, he goes off. He frees the prisoners from Cobblestone. He takes them back to, I think Cobblestone gets renamed like the Last Bastion.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and he just, you know, he becomes this, everybody calls him like a savior and the hero with like a capital H.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of doing that to... I think to redeem himself. I think he's a good guy, but I think part of it too is because he feels bad for blindly following like this Dark Lord's orders, even though he didn't know it was the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact that when the Luminary does show up and he knows that he should apologize to the Luminary, there's still like this awkwardness between the two at first, where like he's still kind of a little rude to the Luminary because the Luminary seems like this shrimpy, unworthy guy. And the Luminary doesn't trust him because he's been hunted by Hendrick forever.
Right.
And so I like that they're just not buddy-buddy from the get-go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not just like Hendrick is like, oh, I'm so sorry. And the Luminary is like, no worries, bro. Let's go save the world, man. It's like they have to fight alongside of each other for a while before they become friends.
Yeah, and it's something that that really makes it seem like a real relationship as opposed to just being, like I've said before, another plot point.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, like we said, his Act 2, the stuff that happens in Act 2 with Hendrick is really good because really he's not in Act 1 other than just this guy that's chasing after you.
Right.
I do think that he's in love with Jade. You might disagree with me on this, and a lot of people might, because there's nothing necessarily in the game where they flat out like announce their love for each other. But really, when I was playing through the games both times, really, it seemed like Jade and Hendrick like belong together.
it seemed more like he was just protective of her, like almost like a not even necessarily a child, but almost a sisterly kind of thing again. Like it never seemed romantic to me.
Really? I don't know. Something about Hendrick, I got this vibe that he was like really in love with Jade. Honestly, though, sometimes I got the vibe he was in love with Silvando. So
that's true. Like they did have some chemistry.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I started writing fan fiction, I think I would totally get into like Hendrick Silvando fan fiction.
Yeah. I mean,
after the end of like 11, that's where my head goes. It's like Hendrick and Silvando, they get married, they go off on like adventures together. Silvando always shows off and Hendrick is kind of the prude, but they make it work.
we 100% need that buddy cop show. Like that needs to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even without romance, Hendrick and Silvando just make like a very funny pair.
Yep, they do.
Especially with the stuff when Hendrick finds out that Silvando is like the son of this really famous knight, you know, mm-hmm. He finds out that Silvando is Don Rodrigo's son. And it's just lots of funny moments with Hendrick that I really appreciate happening in this game.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought other than his kind of relationships with other members of the party, the biggest one we really need to talk about is his relationship with Jasper, because that's kind of this subplot that happened throughout the entire game. That is one of my favorite parts of Dragon Quest XI. It's very similar to Angelo and what's his name? Marcello in Dragon Quest VIII.
Marcello.
It's very similar to that kind of storyline, just with a few differences here. But, you know, it's kind of a sad story. You know, they're both these young boys training up to become knights. Hendrick, everything kind of comes easy for him. He has to be whereas Jasper has to work extra hard for it. Jasper looks up to Hendrick, feels like he's always living in his shadow, but really looks up to Hendrick. And then, you know, there's that moment in the game where, like, Hendrick, when he, you know, gets knighted and all of this, and it's like a big day, and he just kind of walks past Jasper.
Yeah.
When Jasper's going to congratulate him, and it, like, it really makes you feel bad for Jasper.
It does. And then the very end of it, like, when they're like, the only part about this that I don't like is that, I mean, it's heartbreaking the entire time, but the part that I really didn't like is the cliche that they went with. It was like, but I always looked up to you, Jasper. It yeah. was it, that that's too much of a cliche for me. Like, it happens in almost everything like this. And I did not like the, I just wanted to live up to you. It's like, but I always wanted to live up to you. And it's too, yeah. it's too melodramatic and cliche for me.
I mean, it honestly didn't bug me. I get where you're coming from. It didn't bug me, but, like, it's just, it's kind of like the thing with Rab and Jade just, you know, showing up into your party and stuff. It's just like, yeah, this is what happens in games.
Right.
Like, this is just how it goes. So I didn't even think about it, like, twice, you know.
And it's kind of like, what were we talking about yesterday where it was lazy writing in Final Fantasy 14? It's one where that's what that felt like to me. It's like, there are different ways to handle that kind of relationship, but they went with the easy route.
I don't know, but I think there's also, like, earlier parts in that game that are kind of leading, like, it doesn't come out of nowhere, because there's earlier parts, you know, where it's showing Hendrick, like, asking Jasper for help, because Jasper's right. like, read all these books and telling him about things.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You know, so I don't know.
I mean, I get it, but I just feel like there are better ways to handle it.
Yeah, I gotcha. I really liked that. As much as I didn't like Jasper as, like, and I mean, you know, you're not right. supposed to really like him, but you know, I really liked that, the Hendrick Jasper relationship in this game. I really appreciated all of that, and that it both directly and indirectly, you know, ties into the main plot of the game in terms of, you know, Jasper turning to the dark side and helping yeah. Ward again. And it also kind of mirrors the stuff that happens back in Erdwin's time with Erdwin and Morkent, you know,
yeah.
turn into the dark side because he's living in Erdwin's shadow and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of, it's cool how there's, like, little ripples, you know, that, like, repeat as time goes on. All right. Famitsu fan survey.
Right.
Got to talk about it, because we've been bringing up every one of these as we go along. I did double check, because we mentioned this in a previous episode, and it was an international thing.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. So you know, Americans did vote. You remember in another episode I said I remember this happening and I thought I voted for it, but I really couldn't remember that maybe that was just in my head.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mentioned that in one of the, like, episodes a few weeks back. Anyway, mm-hmm. So I guess I did take part in this when it happened. I don't know. But anyway, it was international. Hendrick was number 6.
Which is, I mean, I guess it makes sense that he would be, because of being later in the game that people might not have gotten there or developed an attachment to him like they did some of the others.
I don't know. Of any of the ones, you know, Rab was 8, Serena was 7.
Yeah.
So with, like, of all the ones, I feel like I say this in every episode where I'm like, man, I can't believe they were, like, that far back. But Hendrick really gets me. Like, I'm like, I can't believe he was number 6.
Like, he is really awesome.
Like, I put Hendrick in front of, like, so many characters. Maybe, arguably, all of the characters.
Right.
And so, for me, seeing Hendrick as being so far toward the back is just mind-blowing to me. I can't believe he was number 6.
Yeah, that is kind of strange, like, because he is so high on our lists.
Yeah, like, I would comfortably list it as Silvando, Hendrick, and then probably Jade in terms of, like, the top 3 for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I was surprised that he was number 6, but there you have it. He was number 6 on that survey.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, him being that low, just like how, because of how good he is.
Yeah, so anyway. Huh.
Do you know that when they did it, like, they called him a spoiler, or if it was, like, they used his name?
No, I believe they used his name.
Yeah, I was just curious. I didn't know if that would be some way to influence it. I just,
Yeah. So there you go. So thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Next week, it is our very final last character spotlight on Dragon Quest XI. We're going to do an episode all over the Luminary. Ooh. We're saving main character for the last one here. So we're going to talk about him a lot next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we could avoid him forever.
Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at Dragon Quest FM. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to me directly, I'm on Twitter at DragonQuestin. You can also read my Dragon Quest blog. That is at DragonQuestAustin.com. I recently beat Dragon Quest X, the version 1.0, over the weekend, and so I compiled all the boss screenshots that are in that game.
They look really, really cool, too. I didn't realize that you were going to do that until it got published, and I was like, oh, I like that.
I took pictures of every one of them. It's the Weddy storyline, so, you know, there's a few mix-ups here.
Yeah.
But I posted all of those, and then also what Google Translate told me they were called, because some of them are really funny,
They are really funny.
So anyway, posted all of those up. Also had a regular post that came out just the other day about Dragon Quest VII, because I've been replaying Dragon Quest VII, and reading or looking at pictures basically of the Japanese manga series Warriors of Eden that's based on it. So it's been kind of cool and an interesting way to kind of entertain myself during lockdown
yeah.
and quarantine. So you can find all that stuff on my blog too.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beege. I also podcast every week on the Geek to Geek podcast. You can find that and more at geektogeekmedia.com. We have blogs. We have video game reviews. We have live streams. All sorts of really cool stuff. You can join us also on Slack and Discord at slack.geektogeekmedia.com and discord.geektogeekmedia.com. We would love to talk and have fun with you.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.